Morning. Happy New Year. Anybody make a New Year's resolution to be at church every Sunday? Because you are doing great so far. Very good. I'm very proud of you. Well, I will find out next week, right? Are you like guys like me, like, boo, let's go to the Y. Boo. Yeah, that's me. It's January 3rd, 2016. How long is it going to take before we stop writing 2015 on our checks and things like that? I'm kind of excited. Beginning next week, next Sunday, we're going to use the Sunday morning time to talk about where we're going as a church in 2016. And I'm really, really excited about it. But in the meantime, we kind of had this gap Sunday, okay? A Sunday before we actually get to what we're going to talk about in 2016. So Sherman, Brian, and I, we were all kind of talking about, you know, well, what are we going to do? It's my turn to preach. What should we talk about? And Brian Beck said, well, can I tell you what you should preach about? And I said, well, I guess. I was a little nervous. I didn't really know what he was going to say, right? But he said, well, you should talk a little bit about your experiences in Italy. Like, how did you end up there? Why are you here? How all of that. And so somehow I'm supposed to talk about me. It's my very favorite subject. So I think this is going to go really well this morning. I'm pretty excited. I want to talk to you a little bit about the things God taught me while we were in Italy. Lessons learned, I think, is what it's going to be. I feel like we should pray about that first. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this gathering of believers. I thank you for the people in this building right now that are following you with all their heart. I pray that 2016 will be an amazing year for us as a church. I pray that you would speak through me now and that you would help all of us to learn some of the things that you taught me while we were in Italy. I pray all this in your name. Amen. Okay, so I got to go back to 2002, okay? Everybody's suddenly very afraid about how long this sermon is going to be, right? 2002, I was working at Ozark Christian College as a graphic artist. That seems like 100 years ago to me, but that's what I did. 2002, I was working at Ozark, and they sort of had this perk, and it was a really great perk. During the spring break week on campus, they asked everybody, faculty and staff, to lead missions trips to all everywhere, basically. And they would pay your salary while you were gone. It was sort of like an extra week of vacation if you would go and lead a missions trip. And so the first time I was like, duh, obviously I'm going to do that, right? So I decided to go and help my friends who already lived in Ancona. They were just starting a brand new church plant in Ancona, Italy, where we went. So we raised the money, went over there for, I think it was like 10 days, something like that. The whole week, spring break, we were there, okay? It was faith-stretching. It was my first time to lead a missions trip. I had been to Honduras and Mexico before, but this is my first time to actually lead it, right? And this would have been the March after September 11th, 2001. So I had parents calling me saying, are you sure you should go? It's dangerous. The American Embassy in Italy was saying nobody should go anywhere. But we went anyway because, you know, that's what you do, right? You don't have to listen to the embassies. What do they know? And so we went over there, took a group of college students and helped in whatever way we can, okay? Following year, we decided to do it again, all right? We did the same thing, recruited college students to go and help this team of church planters in Ancona, Italy. Same thing, kind of faith stretching, a little more difficult, and I will never forget this conversation. I was sitting in a hostel. You guys know what a hostel is? You take all of the niceties and luxuries of a hotel, throw them out the window, and then you have a hostel, okay? That's where we were. We had to save money however we can because we were all just, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. College students were going on these trips. So I'm sitting on the floor of this dirty youth hostel in Ancona, Italy. And Jason Casey, who is the team leader in Ancona, he's sitting on the floor next to me. We're about to leave. I think we left the next day. And he said he wanted to come and pray with me, which made me nervous. I didn't know what was the point of this meeting, you know what I mean? He said, Brian, have you guys ever considered, like, moving here full-time and joining us as missionaries? And when I get to heaven, I'm going to have to rewind the tape and see what my reaction was. I'm pretty sure I laughed at him. I said, no way. Like, I love my job at Ozark. I had a youth ministry in Joplin, Missouri that I loved even more than my job. No. I'll support missionaries. I'll pray for you guys. But I don't want to do what you do. How many of y'all are smiling, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, I told God, oh, no, you're going, right? That's what he said to me. But I did. I said I would pray about it, all right? And, you know, I told him I'd let him know. Yeah, being a missionary was just not for me. No way. So I went home and I told Heidi. She went on the first trip. She didn't go on the second trip. I went home and I told her. You're not going to believe what Jason told me in the hostel. He asked us if we would pray about coming and joining them full time. And Heidi said, well, what'd you say, obviously? Can you imagine if I came home and I said, oh, yeah, we're going. I said, no, no, no. I said we'd pray about it and, you know, let him know. And here's a little side note in your sermon, in my sermon. Guys, if your wife gets like a spiritual inkling, you should listen to her. I've found that in my marriage, and I found in other people's marriages as well, the wife is just a little bit more sensitive to these kinds of things. So she said, well, no, we really should pray about it. So we did. We prayed about it for 30 days. And what I really liked about Jason, he said, we're not going to really talk to each other during those 30 days. You guys are going to have a list of questions a mile long, right? Write them down. But we're going to kind of go radio silent for a while. You pray on your end. We'll pray on our end. And let's see what God does in those 30 days. He set me up, didn't he? He was good. All right, here's a true story. I'm going to try and get through it without choking up, okay? One day, during this 30-day radio silent period, we're sitting on the back porch, me and Lance, who at this time would have been four years old, okay? For some reason, I decided to talk to my four-year-old about moving to Italy, right? We have a little porch swing back there, and I told him, you know, hey, we're thinking about moving to Italy. What would you think? Now, for a four-year-old, Lori, for a four-year-old, Italy is Belvedere, right? There's no, you know, there's no concept of where he knows house, he knows preschool, but that's it. Italy is, I don't even know what he was thinking, right? I told him, well, it's really far away, and, you know, we would have to go on an airplane, and, you know, I said things that a four-year-old can understand. And he said, out of nowhere, he started to pray, my little four-year-old Lance did. And this is what he said. Dear God, please let us know if you want us to go to Italy. And if you do, we won't even be scared. Amen. Luke 18. If you're using the Pew Bibles, it's on page 732. Luke chapter 18 says this. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So I think the very first lesson, we're not even in Italy yet, and God is already teaching me lessons, right? Very first lesson I learned is that God reminded me that he can speak through people who aren't as far along the path as I am, right? What does a four-year-old know, honestly? I mean, he was a great kid, but what does he know about everything that goes into moving a family of, at that time, five, all overseas to be church planters? I mean, can we say nothing? He knew nothing, right? But his prayer taught me more than, I mean, anything up to that point. And sometimes the faith of that kind of person, that little four-year-old, is to be imitated. Isn't that crazy? Whew. Got another story. You guys like stories? I love stories. One time, we're in Perugia, actually, a city outside of Ancona. We're learning the language, right? Hardest 11 months of my life, without exception. We're sitting at a bus stop. We didn't have a car. We used public transportation for anything. I'm on my way to get a haircut. This is back when I had hair. I kind of miss those days, but anyway. I'm standing at a bus stop, taking a bus to go to where I knew there was like a barber, right? A hair place for guys to get their haircuts. Now, I cannot describe to you the nervousness that went into getting my first haircut in Italy, right? I didn't know, you know, like when you go to language school, you might learn hair and blonde and short and curly, but you don't, I mean, that's it. All the nuances of how you want your hair cut, you know, I didn't know how to say any of that stuff, but I knew I was looking like a shaggy dog, right? I had to get my hair cut. And I was really afraid I was going to come out with some sort of European, you know, crazy haircut. At this time, I wasn't quite used to what that looked like, so I thought, no, I don't want to look like those guys, right? So it was super embarrassing. Like, everything about it was difficult, and I'm standing there at the bus stop. I'm not even sure where I'm going. I finally get there. All the old guys, it was sort of like a barber from, like, what's that show, Andy Taylor, you know? They all sit around and, you know, chew the fat with each other at the barber shop. Lloyd, yeah, that's it. That's what it is. So I walk in, and everyone's like, well, you're not from around here, right? And they start talking in Italian, and I know they're talking about me, and they're probably, I mean, I know, I heard chuckles, like, as I'm trying to explain, and they're seeing, like, how nervous I am, and they're like, what is this guy's problem? He's just getting a haircut, right? It was easily the hardest thing I've had to do up to that point, was to get a haircut, all right? I was sitting in my office this week, and I'm like, I'm thinking, as I tell the story, everyone is going to think, what is wrong with this guy? Like, what is so difficult about getting a haircut, right? The only comparison I can think of is you're driving in south side of Chicago, right? You're on the highway, your check engine light comes on, your engine starts to sputter, and you know you got to get off of the highway. There's a mechanic right there, right? The logical thing is just to go to the mechanic, right? It's a bad part of town. Yeah, there's lots of crime in the area, but you got to go. Check engine light's on. Your engine is sputtering. So you're in there's people there. Life goes on, even on the south side of Chicago when your car needs to be fixed, right? But you're nervous. You're anxious. You're out of your comfort zone. That's what it was like. But I don't know. I don't even know if that's a good comparison. I can't describe to you how I felt that day. Insecurity mixed with irrational fear, okay? This is a good Bible passage. You probably want to look this one up. It's from Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 14. 787 in the Bibles in front of you. Romans 8:14 says this: For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Man, this lesson that I had to learn here, don't be afraid. This would echo throughout 10 years of ministry in Ancona. There were so many opportunities for me to be afraid. I picked this passage specifically because Paul is kind of telling us not to be afraid of God's punishment. That's what Romans chapter 8 is about. But the Bible is full of other times when Jesus said, don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. You guys remember those passages, right? But this passage is bigger than that. This passage is, you are a child of God. What could possibly happen to you? That's what this passage is saying to us. I mean, when I was stuck at a bus stop on a highway outside of town, not sure when or if another bus was coming along, and my kids are all around me, and it's getting dark, and they're telling me they're hungry, God was telling me, don't be afraid. This was a hard part. When the exchange rate, right, went through the roof, all of a sudden, all of our support from America was worth 50% less. And we're like, we got to eat. You know what I mean? Like, there are certain expenses we can't really get rid of. I learned to not be afraid. When I was sitting in the third month of language school in a dingy classroom in Perugia, Italy, and I didn't know how I would ever, ever, ever be able to master the Italian language, God taught me to cry out, Abba, Father. I'm going to open up the door on missionary life. I mean, we face conflicts with teammates. Missionaries are very headstrong people. We go over to Ancona and we think, God has brought me here to save all of these people. And then other people came in with the same idea. And what do you do when people that are headstrong come up with the same different ideas, right? Well, there's conflict. And man, when we face conflict with our teammates, we love those people. God taught me they are on the same team that I am. They are not on the opposing team. But I had to remind myself, like, that those people I'm in conflict with, they are God's children too, right? Boy, there's a lesson we could all learn, isn't it? Like, look around. These people are not the enemy. They are not your enemy ever, ever, ever. My enemy is never the guy at staff meeting with me. Boy, when I'm given an opportunity to talk about Jesus with somebody that doesn't know anything at all about him, it really is as simple as telling someone about my dad. Boy, doesn't that take some of the scariness away from it? I'm not telling someone about God. I'm telling someone about my dad. And that's what he said, Abba, that's daddy. Abba, Father. And after 10 years, when I faced the realization that our time in Ancona was coming to an end, when I saw the fear and the tears on my kids' faces, because I just told them I'm ripping 10 years out of their life, the only place they've ever known. It's kind of weird. Missionaries often lead pretty unstable lives. There's lots of movement, but we didn't. Our kids went to the same school with the same classmates for all 10 years that we lived there. When I saw that fear, and when I told them, we're moving to a foreign country here, I clung to God even tighter than before. Sometimes my Abba Father was a whisper. It wasn't a confident shout from Romans chapter 8. It was just a whisper. God reminded me that my kids are his kids. I can't tell you guys how many times someone from my family has been out in the lobby during church because we miss Italy so much. We miss the people that God brought us. We miss the people that he told us, these are your people, take care of them. And that's not to say we don't love you guys too. It's just that we love other people too. You know what I mean? Sometimes my family, you may think we're a little bit crazy. And it's because we are. We're still wrestling with what is life now? And through all of it, we're just continually reminding ourselves, Abba, Father. Got kind of heavy in here, didn't it? Sorry about that. The third lesson I learned is probably the one that was hardest for me. Ancona, Italy, city where we moved, is a city where so little evangelical work had ever happened. I'm just going to say none. City of 110,000. When we moved there, there was like one or two tiny little evangelical churches, okay? So we had our work cut out for us. There's a lot of church buildings in Ancona. But the vast majority of the people that you talk to have very little contact with any of those churches. Almost none. In fact, the younger an Italian is, the more likely it is that they hate the church. They want nothing to do with it. They see it as outdated and dangerous and quaint and a place that you go to view the beautiful architecture and art. Never a place where you go to worship. And it's interesting because a lot of people know a little bit about Jesus, but it's very difficult to find anyone that is following Jesus. See the difference there? So we prayed a lot. When you're in that situation and you know that there are people in the United States who said, we want you to go start a church over there, and you think, oh boy, now what do we do, right? So we prayed. We asked God, open doors for us. We talked to a lot of people, just met people, right? We drank a lot of coffee, a lot of espressos, a lot of cappuccinos, thus my current addiction that I'm working on right now, right? We met with other churches and surrounding areas, went all the way down to Sicily to talk to other people that were having some success. But I tell you what, it wasn't until I figured out what my role in all of that was that things started to make sense for me. Boy, how cliche, right? Matthew 28, will you turn there with me? Matthew 28, starting in verse 18. These are Jesus' last words to us right before he goes up into heaven. His time here on earth was done. Jesus talking to the disciples, and this is what he says. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You really start to glaze over a bit when we read passages like this that we've read 100 times before, can't you? I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that Jesus said, make copies of me. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what a disciple is? If Randy Cook is Brian Roeder's disciple, he does everything that he can to be me. He acts like me, talks like me, he makes decisions like me, he thinks like me, right? If Randy's my disciple, he is a little me, right? Jesus says, make copies of me all over the place. You baptize people and you teach them everything that Jesus commanded. You make copies. And that's how the church moves forward. And I have taught on this verse 100 times. And probably from this stage, everyone's probably like, goodness gracious, again, Brian? Yes, again. Time and time again, as I'm praying and thinking about what I'm going to say when I come up here, I'm struck with this desire to do a better job at making copies of Jesus. I look at my life and the things that I spend my time on and my money on, and I think, am I doing a good job at making disciples? Like, this is Jesus' parting words, right? How am I doing? How are we doing at making disciples? Because if I don't do a good job, I'm disobedient. I'm not a very good disciple, am I? Man, it's so tempting to try and pawn that responsibility onto somebody else, isn't it? Like, we sort of look around and we see, oh, well, that guy, he's pretty outgoing and he talks about Jesus a lot. I'll just let him take care of it for me, right? I'll support him. Tanya, where's Tanya? She tells people about Jesus all the time. We're just going to let her do it. In fact, we'll even give her money to do it, right? And then we're off the hook. True or false? Very false. Man, for years in Ancona, I saw my role as kind of a supporting role, right? Language was always tough for me. I speak it, well, I don't know, after 6 months, we'll see, right? I speak Italian, but it was always tough. It was always a struggle. I had teammates that, like, just spoke Italian, and people thought that they were native speakers, and it drove me crazy, right? But it was always hard for me. And you guys know, I'm not a very outgoing person. I would much rather, you know, have a quiet evening at home than go to any kind of party or anything. I like people, but they just make me tired. It's true. I don't really make friends very easily. Sometimes it's really tough for me to, you know, I can have conversations, but to have a friend is a whole other thing. And so I would tell myself, well, my job here in Ancona will be to support other people that are better at it than I am, right? And then as a team, we are making disciples. But supporting the people that are helping people follow Jesus is not what he asked us to do, is it? He told us to do it. Make copies of me. So that day, when I really understood that, my ministry shifted a bit. Now, hear me out. I was on a church planting team, right? Talking to people about Jesus was what we did for 10 years, right? Now, obviously, I was trying to make disciples, but I realized that it had to be the most important thing that I did. Everything else had to fall away, had to become less important. So here's my question for you guys. You guys really can help me out here. What's a guy like me supposed to do with these lessons that God taught him, that God taught me in Ancona, Italy, now that I'm in Rockford, Illinois? It's very, very cold here. This is a very different place from where I used to live, right? What do I do with all these things that I just learned? Does anything that I learned as a church planner in Ancona apply as a connections minister in Rockford, Illinois? It seems like a stretch, doesn't it? That's two very different ministries. Let's see. Jesus' command to us to make copies kind of applies no matter where we are, doesn't it? Are there people in Rockford that aren't following Jesus? Yep. I still need to remember not to be afraid, don't I? I still get afraid sometimes. I let fear determine how bold I am going to be when I'm talking to someone about Jesus. I get afraid when I feel God kind of nudging me to be more generous with my money than I really want to be, right? I worry about my kids being in an environment, a school, that's totally, totally different than the school that they were in Italy. And it's an environment that's much more violent. It's much more accepting of lifestyles that don't match up with the lifestyle of someone who's following Jesus. So yeah, I'm still asking God to help me not be afraid. And you better believe I still want to be humble enough to approach Jesus like a child. I want to have a childlike faith, just like those kids that walked up to Jesus. I remember telling me I told a friend once, he told me never ever to tell anybody this, so I'm going to tell you guys. I told him that towards the end of our ministry in Ancona, I had become convinced that God asked me to move there because he knew there were sins in my life that I would never work on if I was in my home country. I had become convinced that possibly the main reason God sent me to Ancona was to work on my stuff. And the church plant that kind of came out of it was just sort of a bonus. Isn't that great how God works that kind of stuff out? He knew that he had to take me out of comfort of Joplin, Missouri, where I lived before, and strip all of that away and cause me to live in a way where I was totally dependent on him, because if I didn't, I would never get rid of all the junk that was in me. My friend said, never tell that to one of the churches that used to support you, which would be you guys. It's sort of unique because God did both things that he wanted to do, right? He wanted a church to exist in Ancona because one wasn't there yet, and he wanted Brian to work on his stuff, like work on all his junk. So God did, he worked both of those things out at the same time, and it's just an absolute miracle. Is it possible that you all might need to learn some of the same lessons? It's January 3rd, so it's a good time to start over, isn't it? It's a good time to try something new. Is making disciples the most important thing in your life? Are you praying and asking God to show you the next person that needs to know how to follow Jesus? Because you're the missionary wherever God sent you. He told me to go really far away. But he's telling you, for now, you're here. And you are the person God has sent to reach the people that are in your little bubble. You know, it's not enough to support Sherm or Brian, the elders, or Tanya, who's about to leave. That's not enough. That doesn't fulfill Jesus' command. It's the job of everyone who claims to follow Jesus. Do you all struggle with fear like I do? Ooh, boy. Brian's stepping on people's toes today. You guys notice that the pews sometimes seem empty on Sunday? And you're afraid for the future of Central? Does that ever happen? Are you afraid that Central's best days are behind her? Are you afraid to make disciples? You don't want people to think you're a weirdo? It's sort of interesting because when we work on fear and we work on making disciples, we sort of fix a lot of problems at the same time, don't we? We won't be worrying about empty pews, we'll be worried about full pews. I cannot tell you how excited I am for 2016. Sherman, Brian, and I, and the elders, like, we've sat in meetings a couple times. We've gone over to Northeast, and we hid over there, and we pretended our phones weren't ringing, and we just prayed. And we asked God to show us, like, where do you want us to go as a church in 2016? And we're going to start talking about that next week, next Sunday. We're going to say, like, here, here it is. Here's where God is sending us. Here's what we need to do. Here are the changes we need to make. Here's the direction we're going. And I can't wait to see what he does. I can't wait to come up here on January 3rd, 20, whatever. I don't even know it's the 3rd. You know what I mean. And say, look at what God did with us in 2016 because we weren't afraid. Because we made disciples. Because we approached Jesus like little kids do. I mean, can you imagine if those are the only three things that we did as a church this year? Can you imagine what this place would be like in 2017? We're going to sing a song. And during that song, it's an invitation time. It's open to anybody. Anybody sitting here. And if you feel like God is telling you for the first time, now is the time to follow Jesus. Then you come down and you come talk to me. No pressure. We're not going to embarrass you. But just say in front of everyone here, I'm taking the first step today. This is going to be the day. Maybe you want to come forward and say, listen, I'm afraid a lot. Maybe you want to come forward and say, I am not making disciples. I haven't for a long time, and I want to start. I need help. You want to come forward and say that in front of everybody? I can't think of a better first step, because suddenly you got 100 people that are saying, hey, making disciples? It's instant accountability, right? Maybe you want to come forward and saying, man, I've become very prideful, and I need to start approaching Jesus the way a kid would. I need to have that kind of faith. Hey, invitation's open for anybody. Come down while we're singing and we'll talk, okay? Will you all pray with me? Father, thank you for this group of believers. I thank you for the love that they have for Jesus. I thank you for Central Christian Church and for, oh God, this church has been around for a long time. And that's a testimony to your faithfulness and the faithfulness of the leaders at this church throughout the years. I can't wait to see what you're going to do this year. I thank you that you are a God that is alive, that you change, you move, you act. God, we thank you that you are still wanting to save people. God, you want the barrier that our sin creates to be eliminated because of the power of your Son and what he did for us on the cross. God, help us to be bold. Help us to not live in fear, and help us to have faith like kids. I pray this in your name.